Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, From Pathogen to Infectious Disease Diagnosis, where we bring the connection between the lab and the clinic together to discuss how the latest generation of testing can help identify pathogens to get a diagnosis and harnessing potential partnerships between laboratory professionals and infectious disease providers. We're very excited today to welcome Dr. Nico Michel. He leads the Global Lifecycle Management for Roche Diagnostics Molecular Assay Portfolio, focusing on infectious disease diagnosis and ensuring the safety of blood and organ donations through advanced PCR technologies. Obviously, very, very important areas of concern for everyone. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks a lot. I'm really happy to be here and also speak with you about a topic that I really have a passion for when it comes to donor screening and blood safety. So thanks for having me.
You bet. Absolutely. Such an important topic. Let's jump right in then. The recent drop in Germany's blood supply to just 1.5 days highlights system vulnerability. How can improved screening technologies help strengthen overall blood supply resilience during crises?
Thanks, Rodney. Indeed, blood supply crises keep happening. You just mentioned the one in Germany where they hit 1.5 days of inventory, but also outside Germany. Let's take the US, where the American Red Cross, for instance, reported a 35% drop in a single month in January this year. And this was a result of a severe storm. So, I mean, in general, with reserves typically low and often affected then by seasonal factors like weather disruptions, there's also cold and flu seasons that have an impact, but sometimes holiday periods and summer travel of donors. So any kind of reduction in donation rates then immediately creates real pressure on such a system. And this, in this context, Rodney, there's a hard constraint here too. Red blood cells, they must be used within 42 days. And with platelets, it's depending on the setting, even shorter, it's within 5 to 7 days. So when these supplies drop, you can't just wait them out. So every unit is, if you want to see so, is a ticking clock. And I would say, first of all, before we go into the lab and testing, it shows in general how important donating blood is.
Right on.
And that a primary objective across, let's say, healthcare systems, societies, and also healthcare institution is to encourage people to donate blood. Right. That's the first thing. And secondly, I would say, with donated blood being such a precious good, this is then a prime example where laboratory efficiency really becomes critical and essential. And when we speak with institutions and donor screening centers around the world, there's one thing that always comes up. These institutions and labs, they are already stretched, managing complex screening workflows, and then often with limited staff. And here we can make a difference, right? So with technology that streamlines those processes, this becomes really essential. And to make that more tangible, it's really clear. It's about reducing, for instance, manual steps, automating handling of test samples and reagents, and like freeing up the qualified staff that you have in the lab to do other critical work. Let's put that maybe in other words, or even more easy to capture. It's about doing more with what you already have, and this without compromising, of course, the safety of the donation. And from the Roche side, and this is why I'm also so passionate about it, is we have this unique, we call that the Roche Blood Safety Solutions offering, for example. And as of now, actually, we are the only provider combining then comprehensive serology and nucleic acid testing solutions with the ambition to have seamless and proven end-to-end lab automation on top of that. And what this does is it enables fully integrated donor screening workflows in combination with high standards of safety and walkaway time. And now, I mean, this is exciting times. We are evolving this successful concept with new options, with multiplex testing approaches on the assay side. And here we have the newly introduced Cobas MPXE assay, where you can now consolidate multi-pathogen targets into even more integrated workflows. What does it do and what's the impact? Most of all, it reduces complexity, and it allows that this blood, which is so precious, is moved faster through the screening process. And this new test, maybe also to highlight that, comes with existing state-of-the-art benefits that we have for all of our assays. Quite impactful small details like ready-to-use reagents. You don't need to thaw them or mix or pour them. It's reduced hands-on time for the lab, and this is all counts into increasing then efficiency and quality by reducing the risk of errors. And these are actually then real and relevant operational gains at hand. So when donations drop, efficient lab workflows are super important in these times, and here we can make a difference because then every single donation counts. And on top of that, solutions that don't require like new infrastructure investments or hardware investments are then particularly valuable in these times. So just a little context there.
Such great information. And you know, you're speaking directly to my passion too, as a chair of a medical laboratory science program here in Texas. You know, part of what our students learn when they're here is blood banking, immunohematology. And they're well aware, just in their clinicals and their education, around not only the shortage issue, but the workforce issue of we just have lots of workforce reduction. So I really appreciate any area of the laboratory that can address, like you said, not just the safety, but the efficiency of workflow and helping those individuals. So you mentioned the cobas MPX-E assay. My understanding is that consolidates HIV, HCV, HBV, and HEV detection into a single test. How significant do you feel that shift toward multiplex testing for laboratory efficiency and patient safety is useful?
Yeah, thanks. I would say it's significant on multiple fronts. And historically, and also when you look in the labs already today, often they need to perform multiple assays to screen for all the four pathogen targets you mentioned. And then in case of reactivity, they also have to perform an additional and often sequential, we call that discriminatory testing, to identify the specific infection behind the reactive signal. And that, of course, adds complexity. And this creates now opportunities for processing delays. And with cobas MPX-E, we can consolidate the screening and discrimination of all these four viral targets in just one simple, efficient, and integrated test with PCR as detection method. And looking at it, and as alluded in the first section, when you look at it from the efficiency standpoint, that's already transformative. One sample, four results, and then including direct discrimination of the specific target in case of reactivity, if of course translates immediately in faster turnaround time from donation to availability of the product. And also for labs, again, they can process more donations at the same time on the same infrastructure, same staff. The small benefits I already said, it's ready to use, recalibrated. So all these things that normally also consume a lot of lab time and add up, we don't have that with this assay. And that's especially important when it's stretched with the lab. Second level, of course, and most important, patient safety, right? When you build such an assay for donor screening, you cannot compromise. It's about highest standards of sensitivity. Highest standards also about specificity. Specificity is important because you do not want these false reactive results that delay then the process and can also exclude donors from future donations. So with this concept, you reduce repeated testing. And as a consequence, again, more blood makes it safely to the inventory instead of being held up somewhere for follow-up tests, for instance.
Fantastic. Yeah, I
So,
mean, that's always good when you can take, I even remember 20 years ago when I was doing more bench testing, anytime you can multiplex and do it in a safe way and efficient way, it's a win-win for patient and company that's doing that.
And also, I mean, often HIV was difficult to implement for labs. So now if you have that in a multiplex assay, it's just so much easier to sort of establish this target. What we did also here, last but not least, maybe from this dimension, we give flexibility. I mean, you can test for all four targets if you want so, but you can also deselect, right? And for instance, just take for the three test for the three established with these assays as well.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Speaking of those targets, and thinking about hepatitis E being typically asymptomatic, but it's responsible, of course, for millions of infections, each year. How important is it, do you think, to expand routine HEV screening and blood donation programs?
Yeah, I think it's critical. And I mean, most of us are very, or most like clinicians or even in the population of HBV, HCV. Looking at HCV causes them also approximately 20 million infections
Right.
and 70,000 deaths annually worldwide. And here, I mean, with donor screening, the problem is that most people are asymptomatic, right? They don't even know that they're infection. And that they're infected with the virus, and that this means they can donate blood unknowingly. And then, without routine screening, so-called transfusion-transmitted HEV becomes a serious risk, in particular for recipients who are immunocompromised,
Right.
and they are then really vulnerable to severe outcomes here. But there's, I mean, good news, obviously, since
Right, right.
universal NAT screening of blood donations for HIV is then a very effective way to manage that risk. And previously, the challenge has been then quite practical for implementing HIV screening. That was like labor intensive and added more costs, not just for the tests, but also for the lab work, for the
Right,
staff.
right.
So this created a significant barrier to implementation across the global blood supply testing. And this is also one of the reasons why it's not established everywhere. Now, with, let's say, screening capacity improving and solutions becoming more cost-effective, we're seeing a lot of momentum towards universal HEV screening as a better or standard access. And of course, I mean, with multiplex PCR approaches like our cobas MPXE assay, this exemplifies the shift and makes the adoption of HEV nucleic acid testing, I would say, let's call it maybe operationally invisible, right? It's
Right,
quite
right.
easy to do that. And if you do this, so if you implement HEV screening in addition to the established pathogen target, you can then do this at the same time. You don't need extra infrastructure investments. The cost
Right.
barriers are low, and this now unlocks HEV screening and makes that practical and scalable. And yeah, I mean, that's one of the big advantages. This test, for instance, can be applied immediately on the existing Roche cobas PCR instruments that are in many labs around the world without the requirement for additional investment. So barriers quite low now for
Fantastic.
including that.
Fantastic. I know one of the other assays that introduces dual detection for the HIV-1 group M target. Can you explain a little bit how that enhances the sensitivity and reliability in context of some of the viral mutations that occur in this group?
Sure. Thanks for this question. I love speaking about HIV. Has been one of my
Yeah, for
academic
sure.
research fields prior to joining Roche, so it's always
Oh,
nice to
great.
come back to HIV.
Yeah, great.
So yeah, I mean, the dual target approach was also, of course, integrated in the design, and I would say it's state of the art for HIV screening. So we have two independent regions of the HIV-1 group M genome that are targeted in this assay simultaneously. And what's the rationale behind that? I mean, you want to capture two distinct viral sequences because you really improve the likelihood of detection here. So if mutations occur, for instance, in one of these regions, the second target remains unaffected. And as we all know, I mean, HIV-1 in particular, I would say, is a moving target
Target,
as a
right.
virus you want to detect. And our assays are specifically designed to stay ahead of that dual target approach in the cobas MPX. By the way, that's the previous version, also still on the market without the hepatitis E. And now, of course, also the newly launched MPXE means that for HIV-1 group 1, we don't just look for one piece of that viral puzzle, we
Right.
look for two. And
Right.
we use a sophisticated primer and probe design that targets two distinct, and then highly conserved regions in the
Nice.
HIV-1
Very nice. Very
genome.
nice. Yeah.
Yeah,
Very
and
good.
I mean, for HIV in particular important, it has an exceptionally high mutation rate of all these viruses
Right.
in this panel. It's an RNA virus.
Right.
The ones who dive a bit deeper, it has this
Right.
reverse transcriptase, no
Right.
proofreading capabilities. So it likes to create mutants, and then you have the risk of a primer target mismatch.
Right.
Let's imagine someone traveled far region of the world, comes home and has caught up an HIV infection with a really rare variant of this virus with a silent mutation in one of these regions. The other region can still compensate and enable detection in order to prevent the worst case in donor screening. Of course, that would be a false negative result here. So it's
The
about
worst
this.
kind of result, right? The false negative.
Exactly. And I mean, HIV-1, it's really like a swarm, different subtypes circulating recombinant forms in all the different geographies. So here, that's really where you need to have this dual target design. And at the end of the day, it's the benefit for the labs, the clinicians, and the patients, because you create really this robustness. It's not just about detecting the mutants of today, but also what's coming next at mutations of tomorrow.
I think it also, when I think about it, I mean, anytime I talk to anyone in the field about RNA viruses, they're so diabolical and fascinating, but they're diabolical too, in that they change way often. So it also kind of gives you that ability to adapt, and not miss things. So I think that's really critical. And RNA viruses, as we know, are always problematic. Fascinating. I mean, the HIV stuff is always fascinating. Just kind of a side question before we finish up here with our last question. Does the Roche platform, is it ever used for beyond blood screening? Is it used for therapy adjustments around HIV?
Oh yes, of course. I mean, this has been one of, if I think Roche was one other system and technology in the early 90s of the first ones introducing routine PCR testing for HIV-1, right? This was actually the starting point of a really great area of PCR technology. And even today, within this broad portfolio in for diagnostic testing also of the cobas 5800, 6800, and 8800 instruments, we have a broad menu, but HIV-1 quantitative viral load testing as well as 1-2-qol diagnostics is one of the most run parameters worldwide.
Nice. Fantastic. So, as we kind of start wrapping up here, with increasing demand, we talked about this earlier, with increasing demand on laboratories and workforce constraints, that's everywhere, not just in the US, not where you're at. How do you think automation features like walkaway time and high throughput systems change kind of that day-to-day lab operation and capacity planning? Any manager, is looking at this from the standpoint of efficiency and workforce issues.
Yes, I mean that's, as you said, it's a super important topic every time we speak to these labs, and it's a big challenge. And we have the assay component. I mean, as I said, it's the MPXE assay is built to run on these fully automated PCR instruments already, which we call the cobas 5800, 6800, and 8800. So three similar instruments with different throughput sizes that are can be used in a scalable way. And these platforms, as mentioned, are already deployed widely globally, especially because they allow this full integration and automation. For donor screening, to give you some rough numbers, we test with these instruments around 6.7 million donations each month, right? Already on these instruments. And what are, I mean, with terms of lab workflows and day-to-day advantages, let's give you some examples maybe. So it's a combination of this test and system that allows you up to 8 hours of walkaway time, right? So it's almost the complete shift if you want. So this extends the window of, or the time window where your staff can, I would say, create value with other critical lab tests rather than monitoring instrument cycles or just handling samples or like reloading reagents. Now then, as we already said, running now a multiplex assay and consolidates these four targets into one. It's also from a lab efficiency perspective quite pragmatic, because you reduce the number of separate tests and thereby you maximize the capacity what you can produce as a result with one system. And on a high throughput platform that often in these labs already possess quite significant test volumes, this translates into increased sample throughput using the existing infrastructure. When you look at it from capacity planning, the second part of your question, it's about flexibility that you have in the lab. So you can adjust workflows based on maybe donation volume fluctuations with seasonal demand patterns, or especially without requiring proportional increases in equipment that you have to purchase or staffing. But let's take that also a bit more holistically, look at the whole donor screening process in a lab. So then it's not just about nucleic acid testing. Once again, I mean, highlighting the Roche Blood Safety Solutions concept, where we really combine serology testing, nucleic acid testing, then lab automation, also surrounding digital solutions, and a highlight in the near future, also an automated connected sample pooling solutions. You may be aware that in certain geographies and countries, these donations are pooled for testing, and having that automated is the next game changer for lab efficiency as well. So it's this holistic solution that is flexible and scalable, and can be adjusted to the individual automation needs of a certain lab. And this can make then really big impact and huge difference in the day-to-day lab operations and capacity utilization.
Yeah, it
So,
sounds like a wonderful platform, especially if you're going thinking pool testing. You know, that's always kind of a challenge in some areas, so that'll be fantastic.
absolutely. And I maybe one thing is lab automation, you immediately would think it's efficiency, economics, and lab processes, but there's also a safety component again behind that. But with every standardization in an automated process, of course, you reduce the risk of human error. And that would be absolutely needs to be avoided here. So fewer human touch points, less chance for error, but it also translates into improved, for instance, contamination safety. And you don't have the need for with other solutions, for instance, where you would have to bleach and remove nucleic acids to reduce contamination risk. So this is, I mean, ultimately then the real value. By removing these pressures from lab, especially, and then I would say it's a combined shortage. You already referred to it of donations. That was our starting point to the conversation, but also the qualified staff in the lab, right? And with these constraints simultaneously, such a holistic system and automation system is super valuable in streamlining workflows, reducing manual steps, and so on and so on. So, yeah. Ultimately, we hope with this essay, it's a piece of the puzzle that we can in the future enable labs to operate more efficiently. And then what the dream outcome is that we can move this blood that is so precious faster through the screening process. And that's how we protect blood supply resilience then.
Yeah, fantastic conversation around really two important topics, you know, blood screening and blood donation and getting that, you know, quicker, faster, efficient, and safer, but also helping with laboratory efficiency. Such an important topic in today's world. Thank you so much, Dr. Michelle, for talking with us today about
Welcome.
this super important topic. We'll stay on top of this. This sounds interesting as we move forward with your technology. And thank you to our audience today for joining us. And until next time, we'll see you soon.